Rewind, your week in review is sponsored by the Wisconsin Realtors Association, bringing Wisconsin communities to life with great homes, businesses, and neighborhoods. The Wisconsin Realtors Association, the voice of real estate.
This week on Rewind, your week in review.
They have thrown the state into chaos.
A divided Wisconsin Supreme Court struck down the emergency safer at home order. Four justices ruled that the administration of Governor Tony Evers should have worked with Republican legislators on a rule instead. Republican leaders who sued said the decision means Wisconsin businesses and residents can decide how they want to protect themselves from the deadly COVID-19 virus. And 7th Congressional District voters chose Republican State Senator Tom Tiffany in a special election. Rewind, your week in review for May 15th.
I'm Steve Walders.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
The biggest news this week was the state Supreme Court ruling. We'll go into that very deeply. But first of all, that ruling came down about 5 o'clock on Wednesday. So I want to take the first topic here and just talk about what has happened since then, kind of set the stage. But we will get deeply into that ruling. So let's look at what has happened since then. 13 counties and cities, including Madison and Milwaukee, have adopted emergency orders continuing basically the same safer at home limits that were struck down by the court. Business owners, as the Supreme Court said, are no longer subject to criminal penalties for reopening, although the mayor of Madison told National Public Radio this morning that they could be cited if they violated, for example, the Madison order. But those business owners must now decide how to open, how to protect workers and consumers. Some bar owners, as you've seen on the national news, including CBS last night, opened immediately. They took the Tavern League's advice. But now, the decision is kind of up to you. Do you want to wear a mask? How much do you want to go out? Do you want to practice social distancing? You have to pick which businesses, restaurants, movie theaters, drive-ins, and some of these small retail stores that the governor announced on Monday, you want to patronize and feel safe. Now, here's where I'm going to ask JR to jump in. The rulemaking process that the governor addressed yesterday calls for the agency, DHS, Department of Health Services, to draft a scope statement, but the governor says that's very timely. JR, talk about the process there, please.
So essentially, they put out what's called a scope statement. It's basically the framework of what the rule, what its goal is. Now you begin to draft the rule. It has to be published in the state paper record, which is the Wisconsin State Journal, on a Monday, I believe it is, or something like that. So then it's out there and it can be put in place. However, whatever rule is put out there, the Joint Committee for Review of Administrative Rules has the power to suspend that rule. I believe they can do that. That committee can do parts or all of the rule. And here's where it gets interesting. The scope statement, the framework that we saw yesterday, basically is parallel to what Governor Evers had in state home order. Now, it doesn't provide specifics of like how far it would go on limits on bars and restaurants, those kinds of things, but it's a generally the same goal. Now, that Joint Committee for Review of Administrative Rules, it's a 6-4, Republican committee. You have on that committee three Senate Republicans and Steve Noss, the co-chair, and David Craig from Big Bend, who've already called for Andrea Palm to be rejected as a DHS secretary because of her order. You have Dewey Strobel, who's raised a number of concerns about the order that was issued by the Evers administration. And the other co-chair is Joan Ballweg of Markazan from the Assembly, who's running for the state Senate, and by the way, has told the Journal Sentinel that she has questions they need a rule at all right now to deal with any regulations, even all the locals. Okay. So what I'm getting at is even if the Evers administration works out some kind of deal with Robin Voss and Scott Fitzgerald, the top GOP leaders in the legislature, about this rule, I'm not sure it's going to ever go into effect because a committee can suspend it. And that's where you get a rub, where it looks like Republicans have moved from a regional approach to reopening the state to now the way the Supreme Court order is saying, well, people can use their best judgment and the legal locals are saying, well, it should be basically up to the citizens to do what they, decide the risk for themselves. Maybe we don't need a rule. Maybe the rule should be about what happens the next time. What if there is a flare up somewhere? How do locals deal with that? That's where kind of we're at right now, waiting for this specific rule from the Evers administration and how Republicans deal with it.
Right. And meanwhile, the Department of Health Services continues to, at 2 o'clock, update. And just yesterday's numbers from the Department of Health Services, an additional 373 positive cases statewide, bringing the total to 11,275. an additional 13, I'm sorry, tragic deaths, bringing the total to 434. So as JR said, it's a matter of knowing what, if any, safer at home rules that now exist in your community. And again, your decision on how much do you trust the businesses, places you may not have gone to in 2 months, to keep you safe and their workers safe. Now, let's go into next topic. Let's take a look at that 4-3 Supreme Court decision. First of all, let's read from the majority opinion written by Chief Justice Patience Rogenczak. In the case of a pandemic, which lasts months and months, the governor cannot rely on emergency powers indefinitely. We trust that the legislature and Health Services Secretary Andrea Palm have placed the interests of the people of Wisconsin first and have been working together in good faith to establish a lawful rule that addresses COVID-19 and its devastating effects on Wisconsin. Important to note, joining the Chief Justice were Justices Daniel Kelly, Rebecca Grassl Bradley, and Annette Ziegler. No surprises there, JR, in that four-justice majority?
The only kind of surprise really that was how Brian Hagedorn came down in the ruling in general, if you look at kind of the entire scope of things. Right, also, right. Six of the seven justices wrote an opinion, a concurring opinion, or a dissent in this decision. That is also somewhat rare. Also rare that the Chief Justice who wrote the majority opinion added a concurring opinion to her own opinion, in which Rogenczak said she would have stayed the decision until May 20th, but basically didn't have support from the other three conservatives to do that, also expressing faith that they'd work quickly on something else. Well, as we've seen since the Wednesday ruling came down, we're not getting quickly a cooperation right away to get something in its place, dictating how things are going around Wisconsin, statewide at least.
Right, right. And I just want to clarify that because we did get a question prior to the show. The lawmakers asked for a six-day stay, and JR, the court ruling did not give any 6, 10, 12, 18-day transition. There is no stay in that court ruling, right?
Original request for 6 days. In a follow-up briefing, Republicans said, well, lead up to your judgment on how long you should stay this, but we want some time to work out a deal with the Evers administration. But in the ruling, the majority opinion said this ruling is null and void. It's out. And Rogenczak said she would have stayed it, but she didn't have the support to do that, which, you know, basically opened the door to everything as soon as that decision hit the streets.
Right, right. Okay, now let's take a look at this one of the most stinging dissents from Justice Rebecca Dallet. A majority of this court does the legislature's bidding. This decision will undoubtedly go down as one of the most blatant examples of judicial activism in the court's history, and it'll be Wisconsinites who pay the price. But she was not joined in this dissent by Justice Hagedorn and Ann Walsh Bradley. They wrote their own dissents, and you were talking about Hagedorn. He came down, he said, the lawmakers had no standing, JR. You and I have read 161 pages of opinions recently.
Dallet wrote a dissent, and Ann Walsh Bradley joined her dissent.
Thanks.
Ann Walsh wrote a dissent, and Dallet joined that one. Hagedorn wrote his own dissent. Both Ann Walsh and Dallet joined the Hagedorn dissent. However, Hagedorn, a conservative, did not join either the Ann Walsh Bradley or the Rebecca Dallet dissents. He had a theory all his own, which is that he didn't think the legislature had standing to sue in this case, period, and that this was a basically executive power being enacted or duly enacted, or sorry, executive power being carried out under duly enacted law. And hey, maybe lawmakers have buyer's remorse for what they did, but the Evers administration acted on what the law said.
Yeah, 4-3 opinion, and it was picked up nationally. We've all watched the national news. Now let's look at some of the reaction. First of all, at his DHS briefing yesterday, let's listen to how the governor framed it, because he again, as you heard in the intro, used the word chaos. Please.
Republican legislatures have convinced four of our Supreme Court justices to throw our state into chaos. We saw it already last night when the Tavern League of Wisconsin urged its members to open back up and people flooded to bars across the state. Instead of a comprehensive statewide approach to keep people safe, we're seeing municipalities around the state chart their own course. That means you might have to follow a different set of rules than your neighbors across the street. And if you own businesses in multiple locations or have employees who live in a different community than the one they work in, things are going to get very confusing very fast. Even with all this chaos, we cannot let the court's ruling undo all the work we have done and all the sacrifices Wisconsins have made over these past few months. Just because Republicans said it can be a free-for-all, that doesn't mean we have to throw that good judgment out the window.
JR, I want to get to what Senator Fitzgerald told Wisconsin Politics yesterday, but first of all, I want to read the statement from Senate Majority Leader Fitzgerald and Assembly Speaker Voss, which, let's just go to it. Business owners can safely reopen using the guidelines provided by the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. And you and I, consumers, should utilize the suggestions as a safe and effective way to open up our state. Follow good practices of social distancing, hand washing, hand sanitizer usage, and telecommuting. This order does not promote people to act in a way that they believe endangers their health. Now, in your interview, in the Wisp Politics interview with Senator Fitzgerald, he said two things, JR, which I found interesting. If you're not comfortable going to a restaurant, don't go. If you're not comfortable going to church, don't go. So can you put those remarks in context, please?
The shifting Republican kind of reaction to this, before the court issue, this ruling came out, they're talking about a regional approach. That became, let's go for a statewide approach sometime over the weekend. From what I can tell, there were a couple of complaints about that. One, Southeast Wisconsin lawmakers saying, hey, if we go regionally, then these communities that I represent are not going to be impacted because they're going to be still under the stay-at-home order. That's not fair to my businesses. So a complaint for Republicans. Two, a feeling of, okay, we've gone long enough. We're getting close to May 26th. Let's just open up the state. So there's that piece. Then the shift to, okay, yeah, if you still feel not safe, stay home, but don't take away the opportunity for business X to make a living. If they want to take that chance, it's their choice to take that chance. You don't feel safe, stay home.
Right.
So now we have a situation where, all right, how are people going to react? And with the Evers administration approach, they were going to enforce social distancing things at bars and restaurants. But we all saw a video of bars Wednesday night within hours of the ruling, people packed elbow to elbow, no mask on, no hand sanitizer in the bar. But again, say, hey, that's not the image that Republicans want to see, but they're saying that is their choice. There's always going to be a spike in cases, a second wave, but we have the capacity now with our hospitals to handle and it comes up this late spring and summer.
Right. And I was looking for, I was very interested in the reaction of our Attorney General Josh Call to this. He's the state's top legal officer. I wondered what he would say. So I just included his statement. Prior generations of lawmakers recognize that addressing a public health crisis can require urgent and extraordinary actions. The court ruling means that this authority is subject to a legislative committee's veto and that there will be a delay of more than 10 days before decisions can go into effect. So, JR, the Attorney General just seems to be saying the state's ability to enforce, to regulate any safer at home, completely wiped out by the Supreme Court order.
And now there are those dozen or so local communities that have issued their own orders. We've already seen Kenosha withdraw it, saying, okay, we're not sure we have that authority. And there are some questions about whether the Supreme Court ruling taking out the DHS order also impacts those local powers. Now, unless you have a lawsuit, you're not going to stop the locals from doing what they want to do. So if they want to go forward, may take another court case to stop that. But it's going to be a patchwork of regulations in Wisconsin for the time being. And the concern from health officials and people in the Evers administration is, okay, the standard may have changed. The rules in place may have changed. The virus hasn't. The virus hasn't gone away. So how is this behavior going to impact the virus's spread, and are we prepared for it?
Right, which is why the DHS briefing tentatively scheduled for Monday, which will focus on, again, the increased numbers in positives and deaths, will continue to be a tick, tick, tick on this whole issue. I was intrigued, JR, the Marquette University Law School poll. It came out before the Supreme Court ruling, but I just want to go quickly through some of the findings because it was the first time that the poll really took an inward look at how Wisconsinites feel about that. So we're going to go through those quickly. First of all, do you approve of how the following have handled the coronavirus outbreak? Excuse me. President Trump, May approval 44, down 7 percentage points from March. Governor Evers, in May, the most recent poll, 65% approve, but that's down 11 percentage points. Any thoughts on the changes with those two public officials, JR?
One with Evers, we knew his numbers would come down. I mean, he was sky high. I think 86% was the approval of his actions handling COVID-19 a month ago. It was never going to stay that high. You've seen it become a more partisan issue. Even though it's become a more partisan issue, half of the self-identified Republicans in that poll still support what Evers is doing. That tells you that there is a split in the GOP base about how to deal with COVID-19 and stay-at-home order. With the president, he never got the same balance that governors did when it came to this handling this disease. It's usually called a rally around the flag effect in polling, where when we go through a disaster, a pandemic, some kind of really tense situation, people try to gravitate toward their leadership. Didn't really happen to the president. He's such a polarizing figure. So it's not a surprise that his numbers have dropped. What is interesting is it hasn't done anything to his overall job approval number. It really has not moved at all. Even with the skyrocketing unemployment in Wisconsin, he still gets positive marks on his handling of the economy, which has been his calling card the entire time, like 54-40. It's amazing. The guy's numbers just do not change no matter what happens.
Right. Okay. And that second question I wanted to quickly look at. The governor's original decision to close schools, businesses, limit gatherings, public gatherings, appropriate or an overreaction? In May, most recent poll, 69% approve. In March, 86% approve, a drop of 17 percentage points. Any PSs quickly, JR?
Just that partisan divide. That's a more partisan issue, and that GOP divide. That's what's interesting to me about that question.
Okay. And then just quickly, who do you trust to decide to timing to reopen schools, businesses, size of public gatherings? Again, this question was asked before the Supreme Court ruling. The governor, 53%, legislature, 33%, both 2%, neither 6%, don't know, refuse, 6%. I was also intrigued. It asked some very personal questions of respondents. Again, this is 811 people who chose to answer. You or someone in your family laid off due to the COVID-19. Me or someone in my family, 34%. Both me and someone in the family, 7%, total 41%. Second question, you or someone in your family lost work hours due to the COVID-19 crisis. Me or someone in my family, 39%. Both of us, 14%, a total of 53%. Any thoughts on these two questions in terms of personal impact, job loss, hours lost, JR?
I mean, it reflects a DWD about 3 weeks ago now, maybe, projected unemployment around 25-27% in Wisconsin, because there's a lag in the unemployment numbers versus what we were reporting. So we're getting it, going to get sometimes in the April number. Last we saw in April was a reflection of March. We weren't even seeing it yet, but we're now like 1/4 of all workers laid off. That tells you the impact of this on the economy in Wisconsin.
I couldn't agree more. Last question from the Charles Franklin poll that I want to highlight just quickly. If the election were today, who would you support for president? Democrat Joe Biden, 46%. Republican Donald Trump, 43%. JR, this is a margin of error number. The margin of error with 111 registered voters is plus or minus 4%. Any reaction to the 46-43 Biden lead?
Again, it shows that president numbers don't move a whole lot. We're in a tight race in Wisconsin. It's going to remain that way. An interesting thing that Franklin pointed out in their presentation on Tuesday was that they've taken the last four Marquette polls and added up the people who have a negative opinion of both Donald Trump and Joe Biden. Biden's winning like 4-1 with those voters. The people who have a positive opinion of both of them, Trump's winning like 3-1 with those voters. Here's the thing. The pool of people who don't like either of them is three times as large as the one that like both of them. What am I getting at? Well, in 2016, Trump did really well. People didn't like either him or Hillary Clinton. It basically was, okay, the devil I know versus the devil I don't. I'm with the devil I don't because I want to tear things down. I don't like Hillary Clinton. I know what she's like. I'm taking a chance on Trump. It looks like right now, as things change, those people who aren't happy with either choice are saying, this guy isn't for me anymore. That could be a problem for President Trump come November if that number holds.
Okay, new topic. I was really curious, what activities are our National Guard members, our citizen soldiers? So I asked the Guard on Tuesday, tell me about where the 1,000 Guard members were deployed, were being used. So I just want to run through that quickly. 650 helped collect COVID-19 test specimens in, well, Brown, Dane, Florence, Marinette, Milwaukee, Outagamie, Portage, Racine, Walworth, and Waukesha County. 160 were poll workers. The special election in the 7th Congressional District. 38 worked at call centers notifying people of the COVID-19 test results. 50 work as medical and administrative staff at 3 voluntary self-isolation centers. 20 received repackaged and redistributed, PPE equipment. 17 guard members supported Dane County's coroner's office. And in honor of first responders and healthcare workers, members of the 115th Fighter Wing flew around the state, and we'll see images of that later. So I just find it intriguing, JR, that guard members have been deployed not for tornadoes or other natural disasters, but some of these COVID-19 functions. Any thoughts?
No, they played a key role in helping man the polling places on Tuesday in the 7th Congressional District. So they filled in those gaps up there. They've been running the testing sites. They've been a huge role in what's going on.
Guard, thank you for your service. Okay, now, JR, this one is up to you. Before I ask you to talk about State Senator Tom Tiffany's victory in the 7th Congressional District special election, let's listen from both candidates in which Mr. Tiffany says, I'm going to Washington to help President Trump, and the Democrat, Tricia Zunker, said, we laid the groundwork for, and that's, I'm going to ask you, JR, whether that's a hint that she's going to run in November. But first, let's listen to both candidates.
I have one goal as I go out to Washington, D.C., and that is to get America back up on her feet again. This is a real blow that we've taken over the last couple months. Business people were talking about they were going to have their best year ever in 2020. Obviously, that has come to a stop. But we're Americans, and we've been through difficult times. We know how to go out and turn things around, and we will do that again, and I will dedicate myself to get America back up on her feet again. I look forward to going to work with President Trump out in Washington, D.C. Thank you, everyone.
This isn't the result we were hoping for, but we did something incredible here. We did something that no one thought a Democrat in this district could do. We did something incredible despite the fact that legislators refused to switch to mail-in voting to protect the health and safety of Wisconsinites. And we came this close because our message of affordable health care, help for small businesses and farmers, and protection of the environment resonated throughout this district. This has been quite a journey, and we worked really hard. And we laid the groundwork for a Democratic win in November.
So I'm just going to give the stats, JR. Unofficial results, Tiffany, 57%. Democrat Zunker, 43%. Take it away, JR. What happened in the 7th on Tuesday?
Look, there wasn't really much of a question about who's going to win that race. Tom Tiffany outraised Zunker like 3-1. The district went by 20 points to Donald Trump in 2016. Sean Duffy, in his last reelection in 2018, was like 21.6 points for his margin of victory. And the outside help was way in Tiffany's favor. So the question really was, what was the margin going to be, and what's it mean for November, if anything? Tiffany won by more than 14 points, which is nothing to sneeze at. But again, remember, it was a plus 20 for Trump in 16, plus 21.6 for Duffy. So does that mean anything? Well, Democrats, of course, saying, hey, even as a shift of 5 points, that's not good for Trump, because Trump needs to do really well in these areas to maximize his turnout, because he's going to lose ground places like Milwaukee, which didn't turn out as well for Clinton as maybe Dems had hoped in 2016. They're going to do better in certain rural areas. He needs to maximize, you know, this part of the state. Republicans say, hey, any win's a good win. Special elections are odd. You can't really predict much off of this. And oh, by the way, you're grasping at straws to try and predict a November turnout off of a May election. So really, I mean, talking to people, neither side got what they wanted. I mean, if Dems had gotten a single point victory, they would really could have, you know, tooted their own horns. Republicans got a 20 point win. They've been, hey, there's more enthusiasm for Trump than there was before. Really, it's just kind of, all right, situation normal. But what's it, again, what's it mean for November? Is there going to be a drop off of even a couple points? Because remember, Trump won by 0.77 percentage points in Wisconsin in 2016.
Statewide,
yeah. Any drop is not good for him. But can he max it? Can he find more voters in the 7th, find more voters in western Wisconsin, do better in the suburbs? Those are his challenges come November.
Okay, but JR, quick follow-up question. When Zunker said we laid the groundwork, does that mean she's going to run again on November 3?
Possibly. I've been asking for a campaign for a response to that, head on her back.
Okay. Next topic. The Democratic National Committee, a committee of the Democratic National Party has recommended a rule change to allow what could be a virtual Democratic nominating convention in August. The committee recommended giving the Milwaukee planners of the convention wide authority, broad authority. The resolution that was approved by a committee says planners can use social distancing guidelines. Again, the changes are expected to be approved by the DNC. Two quotes, one from Jason Ray of Milwaukee, who's secretary of the Democratic National Committee. We're providing the convention team with the opportunity to look at a wide range of potential options, looking at how we scale up or down as we get closer to August. And National Party Chairman Tom Perez again said, it's my expectation and hope that we will have an exciting, inspiring convention in August in Milwaukee. What do you think, JR? In-person Milwaukee convention hanging by a thread?
Oh, it has been for a while. This is just more of an indication of the uncertainty over the convention, how it can be held, how many people can gather, what it's going to look like. We just don't know what this virus is going to look like come July. We're probably not, barring a miracle, we're not going to have a vaccine by July, right? Mm-hmm. By August. So how do you operate minus those things that people say you need to have to operate safely with COVID-19?
Okay, next subject. We were a little late starting Rewind because, JR, you just got some breaking news. What is it?
State Senator Jennifer Schilling, who was the Senate Minority Leader, she announced in late early this spring she's not going to seek re-election. Then she stepped down as Minority Leader. Today she resigned her Senate seat to pursue a private sector opportunity. Basically, in her statement, she said that state law requires you to step down if there might be a conflict of interest with your career opportunity. So she's leaving now to pursue something in the private sector.
Wow, that's a surprise. And the potential lineup, the face-off on November 3, Brad Pfaff, the dismissed Secretary of Agriculture, versus Dan Kopanky. Yes.
Republican State Senator actually beat Brad Pfaff in 2004 when it was an open seat.
Okay.
Held the seat, lost it in a recall election to Schilling in 11. Sought to beat her in 16, lost by 61 votes.
Right.
Now he's back again.
Yeah, and Kopanky owns the Loggers baseball team. Wonder how they're going to play this season. Anyway, okay, stock picks, JR, rising.
So absentee ballots, look, we're maybe seeing a huge shift in how we vote in Wisconsin. Now, there are no guarantees how things will turn out in the fall, but what we're seeing so far is an indication of people gravitating toward this option. Look, the Marquette poll shows that looking ahead, 43% of voters say they want to vote absentee in November by mail, 11% via early in-person voting, 39% at the polls. Just look at November 2016. Then you had 4.8% voting absentee by mail, 22.5% early in-person voting, and 72.7% through in-person voting at the polls. That'd be a huge shift. The question becomes, okay, what does that mean for clerks? How do they marshal the resources to go from expecting a big turnout at the polls to opening the mail? Now, there's a partisanship break, just like in everything in Wisconsin. Democrats more likely to say they're going to vote absentee via mail. Republicans more likely to say they're going to vote in person at the polls. So that's something to keep in mind. And even in the 7th, a very Republican district, there's a pretty healthy absentee ballot turnout. Again, these are kind of things being taken, looked at in the middle of a pandemic. What's it look like come November? Do we change our behavior? Or people go, you know, it's just easier to vote by mail. All I got to do is put my request in, and you can put a request in and get those sent to you and be done with it.
Okay. And almost out of time. Mixed.
Brian Hagedorn. Look, this is the second time Hagedorn has disappointed the conservatives who rallied to his side in 2019 and got him elected. Don't forget, a year ago, he was being down to Lisa Neubauer in the race for Supreme Court. He said he was being attacked for his religious views. Conservatives rallied to his side. Now you have a decision where he's saying, I'm not going to join the conservative majority here on this case. Now, there's a difference between your grassroots conservative reaction and your kind of federal society type reaction to this decision, okay? The grassroots folks are saying, okay, I want the outcome I want, which is him siding with conservatives. The federalist types are going, well, he had a rationale for what he did, but I don't like it. Also, if you're a geek like I am, read the footnotes of that decision from Wednesday. There is some serious conservative violence going on in those footnotes. Daniel Kelly says he was condescending. Rebecca Bradley takes him to task for basically ignoring the Constitution. It's really interesting reading if you have time.
Yeah, if you're a wonk. Okay, you got 15 seconds on falling.
All right, real quick. So there's a group called Our American Revolution. It is associated with kind of a Bernie Sanders aligned group. It has been doing like this process to help do nomination papers. Turns out there are lots of problems with the papers it's generating. There's an online tool, really some issues with Democratic candidates in the fall. Just keep an eye on that in case anybody's knocked off the ballot because of it.
Okay. I rush you through stock picks because I just want us to close with a 20-second look at some footage from the 115th Fighter Wing flying over Wisconsin. So let's take a quick look at that. Okay, JR, when I was a kid, I once entertained fancies of being a jet fighter pilot. Did you?
No, they told me I was color deficient, so I couldn't be a fighter pilot.
Okay, and then my eyes went and things like that. So anyway, that was beautiful footage. I'm Steve Walters.
I'm JR Ross.
That's Rewind for May the, let me double check, 15th.
Rewind, your week in review, is sponsored by the Wisconsin Realtors Association, bringing Wisconsin communities to life with great homes, businesses, and neighborhoods. The Wisconsin Realtors Association, the voice of real estate.